DW.
It's a very simple calculation. It's basic bookkeeping. In the same way financially that we calculate how much money do we earn, how much do we spend, we can do the same with resources. So how much do we take from nature? How many potatoes do I eat? How much cotton do I use? How much wood do I use, etc.? How much CO2 do I emit? And then we can translate that into how much area is necessary to provide these services and flows. And that's my ecological footprint. And so for the world, what we find is that our collective demand of humanity exceeds what Earth can renew by about 70%. That translates into August 2nd as Earth Overshoot Day.
Why are we overshooting earlier and earlier every year? Because that's the data has moved forward.
Yes. The why is a big question. When we are a larger population, so we're more people consuming. Incomes are rising. That means we want more. There's also counterforces like energy is becoming less carbon intensive overall because of movement to use of solar power and wind power, etc. But still not enough to compensate for the increasing demand.
What does the calculation tell us about how different countries use resources?
You can go to data.footprintnetwork.org and see the trends for all countries for the last 60 years or so. We have high-income countries that had very high demand already early on. For example, the United States had very high consumption starting in the 60s already, and then other countries like in Europe, they caught up. And then there are lower-income countries like Bangladesh that are on a very low level of resource demand.
There's always been the argument that developing countries should now use more resources because they have so much to catch up with.
I mean, we start from not even using the categorization of developing and developed because I think it's an outdated categorization. There's much more variety among countries. We see also countries like China that have had a very rapid increase of resource demand. I think CO2 emissions in China per person are now larger than in my home country, Switzerland. So it's a very diverse world. But I think by understanding our resource dependence better, we can also manage it more. In English, you say measure what you treasure. And if you treasure your resource security, then you better put an eye on like how much you have and how much you use.
Which countries would you say are on track to more sustainability?
Overall, we have still kind of these tensions that some things are done well. Like, for example, in Switzerland, we have well-insulated houses that are quite energy efficient overall. But then car demand is still increasing in Switzerland. Germany has been investing in the energy transformation for quite some time. But still overall, Germany is still very dependent on fossil fuels, etc. We continue to expand airports. That's not consistent with the idea that we would need to move out of fossil fuel use way before 2050 if you want to comply with the target set by the Paris Accord, for example. So there's no single country that says, oh, they do everything right. We still don't see sustainability as the key parameter for long-term economic success. We still kind of perceive sustainability as kind of a nice add-on, a nice to have, rather than the essence of what it takes to have long-term success.
You just mentioned the Paris Climate Agreement. How much of an impact do you think it can have on reducing the ecological footprint of people and countries?
If you were able to live up to Paris and move out of fossil fuel use, we would be able to move back to living within the means of one planet by 2050 if we did that aggressively. So it's totally achievable.
But it likely?
At this point, I'm interested in possibility. I would say it's totally possible. The trends that we see are not yet pointing in this direction. But what we do know is that technology is available today, that financially it's superior, but that's not fully understood yet. So one example, World Economic Forum has two reports. One is the risk report, where they ask a lot of CEOs from around the world what they see as the biggest risks overall. Last year, 6 out of the 10 key risks were totally environmentally oriented, whether it's water shortage or climate change or resource issues. And then you look at the other report, which looks at what makes countries strong. It has 114 indicators. Not one of them touches resources, environment, climate. So you wonder, if we plan the future of countries according to one set of beliefs, that is totally inconsistent with the risks that they perceive themselves, these CEOs. It's puzzling to me how that doesn't touch, because we do as if it will, as if these resource risks will never touch us.
You are also trying to actually counter this actively. For instance, on your webpage of the Global Footprint Network, you have this campaign, Move the Date. What do you recommend?
If we use already what Earth can renew an entire year by August 2nd, that cannot be a good thing. And moving that date further into the year may be a good thing. And then we can start to compare the various solutions that are available today and say, okay, if we, for example, cut food waste into half worldwide, how much would we gain? And then we can look at all the list of possible solutions. And if we implemented them all, how far could we get? And we could get back to one planet before 2050.
How do you suggest people can go about it?
We have this new footprint calculator. Go and check it out, footprintcalculator.org, and find out how many planets it takes for you, or when would be your Earth overshoot day. And then think about move the date. Is how much can we move the date? Start with finding out more about it. Start to have conversations. Start thinking about what does it mean for your life. Engage others. Ask your city to make sure it can operate within the means of one planet. Because if not, your city will have more difficulties.
DW